This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us
David Bertrand,
Alison Molden,
and I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now David, in your time as a teacher there was record keeping that you had to do.
Yes, there was a thing that followed every child. As soon as they entered school, it was called a brown card, and it had the subjects listed. And once a year, they were given a grade. Towards the end, it was a 1 to 5 system. Before that, it was an A to E, I think.
Is this for school reports as well, given each term?
No, this was once a year. You had this brown card, because it also had things like health details on it and a number of injections and what else did it have? And it followed the child.
Days to the absent.
The attendance. It followed the child. When a child changed schools, the record, the brown card, was called for.
Yeah.
And that would have sent it. So you saw. It was a very comprehensive record of this child. Oh, and there's also this 4 sections about. The social side, stability and things like.
How sociable.
Yes, those sorts of things. Yeah. Very hard to fill in those sorts of things.
Yeah. So this was quite separate from school reports that went home?
Oh, yes, no, this did not go home.
Yeah.
No. In fact, I'm not even sure if parents were allowed to see it. I suppose they could have, but nobody did.
But would you sort of double up, though? You'd fill in the brown card while writing a school report? Or really...
If you had adequate records during most of the year, you should be able to write a report pretty recently. But, see, again, when I started teaching, the school report which went home to the parents was basically the subject with a grade beside it.
Yeah.
Towards the end, you didn't have grades. You had a sentence, very positive. We told parents absolutely nothing, I might add, but still. I had occasion during just this last Christmas. I've got a niece who teaches an intermediate over in Gisborne, and she was writing reports, and they were stories, you know, about each child. And for someone who was good at English, you could completely disguise the fact that the child was a writer or terror. You know, and the parents. I was appalled at the report. It really was. I thought a dreadful document. Could give a completely false impression.
Mm.
But the teacher was obliged to do this. And a copy was kept at the school too.
Okay.
You know, so. But.
So, and these days it would have to be positive because self-esteem's important.
Yes.
Okay. So, could you write? Critical, I mean, there was could do better or something.
At the beginning, I'm sure I did say that. Could work harder. Has an affinity to Beethoven. Can bang her desktop very well.
In time.
Yes. Because there was a. There was a thing that went around schools when I was teaching, which was how to say in the nicest possible way the most dreadful things about children. And there was a great list of about 40. Yeah. And okay. It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
Pick a sentence.
Yes. Which is the wrong thing, of course, to do. But
So it makes a unique contribution to the class.
Yes.
Well, I think it's quite difficult. Say 35 children to say something personal and individual about each one. is actually I found it very difficult.
Yes, I think you're right.
Because depending on the child's contribution, shall we say, whether good or not so good, some people were virtually not very noticeable.
That's right.
They just got on with things. It was very difficult.
And that's what, something that you've reminded me too, that I always used to mark my attendance at the end of the day, because I'd remember who was there. Mm. And I can distinctly remember there were always two or three kids. Gosh, was she here today? Mm. Oh no, there was an empty set. That was where she's. You know, there was definitely somebody sitting next to her, so she must have been here today. She had made no. She had done her work, but no impact, you know. Mm. And I think every class had a few of these kids who became almost faceless. Very hard to write a report for, of course.
Because they've not come to your attention for any particular...
I mean, you're probably quite right having kids write that in your class.
Yeah. So what about parent-teacher interviews? Were they common?
Yes.
Were they an ordeal? Or?
No, I thought these were wonderful.
Because in those days, the pupil wouldn't be there, would they?
That's right.
Yeah.
And I was very... Again, right towards the end of my teaching, we were obliged to have the pupil there.
Mm.
And I thought this was the wrong thing. The parent didn't have to come to the interview, but they didn't get the report until they did, sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I thought was quite a shrewd way of doing things. But I found report them. They were. I mean, you met the parent.
Yeah.
And
that was an insight into the child?
Yes, yes. And I think it was important for the parent to meet the teacher too.
Hmm. Did you find some showed a lot more interest in the school than others?
Oh, yes, yes. Hmm. Yes. Ah, and that's something you mentioned before. Our Southeast Asian boat people, their parents always came.
Yeah.
They were there, alert and interested.
Hmm.
Which is rather interesting. It was rather wonderful, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah. But what I was going on to say about keeping records, there was this brown card, which was once a year to be completed, but we all had to be very scrupulous about our attendance register. You did not make mistakes. Because apparently it was a legal document.
Because I suppose if there's more than a certain number of absences, is that the parents are liable or something?
At those days, I think there was, you know.
Yeah.
You could ask questions of parents if juniors didn't come. But actually, I used to take it as a personal affront if a child didn't turn up to school.
Mm.
I thought, oh, that's a bit cool. He didn't mind making an effort, he's not. But I didn't. There were not very many kids who were truanting.
Mm.
In fact, I'm not even sure if there was any.
And even when you were at school, certainly when I was at school, it was a kind of matter of pride that your report came home and your attendance had been... And it wasn't your parents saying... It was yourself thinking, I've been at school every single half day.
And there were certificates given out for attendance. And because the other thing about attendance was it was always done in half days.
Yes.
But we had, as a teacher in my first school, we were not allowed to go home until we had balanced our role for the week. Boys and girls separately, you know, a number of them, that sort of thing.
To balance your role.
So
someone else was keeping a register?
Yes, because that would be sent to the office, and the office lady would have to compose a school return. And this went to the education board, because I was the education board when I started. And there was a term one, it had to be balanced. And you basically didn't go home until that was done. The principal made sure you didn't go. And of course, at the end of the year, there was the yearly bounce. And those were very important. I think it was one unnecessary.
But it was all from the same source, though. The teachers did the register that went to the office, so any mistake would be in transcription in the office.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It was quite a big thing. The agenda. Did you remember? Do you remember the agenda?
No, I remember the attendance record, but yes. I only was at small schools.
It would affect entitlement to the number of teachers and so on, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Size of the role.
Yes. Yes, because schools are staffed on the basis of the numbers of children.
Yes, school role.
Because at Linton Camp, where I taught for a while, there was always problems because there was such an kids coming in.
Yes, they're mobile, it's a problem.
Because I remember in my very last year there, I think it was about 190 children at the school altogether, and the school started with a certain number of kids at the beginning of the year. It ended up with virtually the same number at the end of by the end of the year. But there'd been 72 changes. Had come in, 72 had gone out. Because they, with the military school, they went to the various camps or Singapore.
And that was quite unusual for you, was it? The changing role to
Yes.
When would new pupil? Oh, I suppose intermediate. They'd all come at the beginning of the year.
Yes, but there were a few that drifted in during the year.
Yeah,
because their parents had changed jobs or towns or something. Which I don't know whether you noticed this, Alison, but I always found that kids who came in during the year never quite gelled.
Yeah.
The ones who were all there at the beginning, even if they were new to the place, they were okay. But kids during the year...
When did they stop that you could start school on your birthday?
Oh, that's right at the beginning of primary.
Yes, but then that would have carried through to... this is different.
Yep. Yes, I'm just trying to think. It was a big thing. You went to school on your fifth birthday.
Yeah.
Whereas now, I don't think you have to, do you? You've got until you're 6 years old?
You don't have to stop until six. There's the talk now about boys should start a year later because their brains develop later.
I don't know.
That's so good.
Yes, of course. Nobody, when I was teaching, no one failed and had to repeat a year.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
You wouldn't have had all the... Well, I suppose towards the end maybe a lot more children from broken homes or... blended families and so on.
That's right,
Did that have much impact, do you think? Was it noticeable?
I think I just got used to it.
Yeah. But did it change the teaching environment?
I don't know. I can't really say whether it did or not. I remember one year where I got all the children to write the address for sending the report home on envelopes. Then I took the envelopes home, took the reports home, and half of them couldn't make sure the right report was in the right area because the parent's name was different from.
Rather jealous then.
And it was very embarrassing the next day, having to sort of say,
which is which?
Yeah, who's with what? Yeah.
Yes. Because the reports went home in a sealed envelope. Whether they got home in the envelope was still sealed is another thing. But when I was a pupil, we just got handed the report to take home. Yes, I remember the agenda was a big thing. That brown card was a big thing.
What about how were teachers judged? Because there was a suggestion at one time, just a few years ago in New Zealand, assessing teacher quality by the marks or change in marks of their pupils.
We absolutely fraught. There was talk about it, and it was absolutely fraught because not all children are the same.
Yeah.
At my first teaching at intermediate school, we had two top classes academically.
So it was streamed?
Yeah, yeah. Streamed, and two bottoms. And everybody was sitting in the middle with you. It was about.
So the two top were sort of on a par, and the two bottom, rather than four streams. Yeah, sort of two streams, you mean?
Yeah, no. The two top classes, there was definitely a top class of those two.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And there was a bottom class.
So stream A, B, C, D.
Yes, but they weren't called that, of course. Yeah. But there was, in my first year teaching, there was probably about 12 classes in each form, Form 1 and Form 2. So that meant that left about eight were regarded as sort of average or the same.
Oh, okay. So they separate. Ah, now this is interesting.
But that was only in my first couple of years. After a while, they gave up the idea of streaming. Oh. Because who wants to teach? Well, terrible thing to say, but who wants to teach the low kids? Because they're very hard to teach.
Yeah,
you don't make progress.
That's a discipline issue, is it? Mainly
there's a discipline issue, but also you were talking about payment on the basis of results.
Oh, well, if it's assessed on change in marks, but then, yeah, if the improvement's not so much.
People don't all learn at the same rate.
Yeah. So did you find that teachers tended to, was it very isolating, you're there with your class, or there was a group, teachers supported each other a lot?
I think when I started teaching, other teachers were very supportive. You shared your planning, you talked, it was good.
Mm,
mm. Towards the end, it was different. Mm. Because there was a competitive element had come into teaching.
Well, because of the sort of assessment of...
Yes, support. Because they brought in things called management units, and they were it was extra pay for... certain things like being head of English department, maths or whatever. Whereas when I started teaching, there was the principal, the deputy principal, probably a senior lady, and the rest were the same.
So what about pay? Would it, each extra year of teaching your pay would go up, or the more university papers you got, the higher the pay?
Now, there was a thing called country service. Have you come across country service?
No.
When you left... Before it changed when I was at Teachers College, but before that, you had to do country service, which was 2 years in a supposed country service school, before you could progress past a certain rate of pay. Oh.
Is this the bonding? Because were funded to go to Teachers College, whereas university students weren't in the same.
Yes, we were paid. I was paid to go to Teachers College. Princely sum of £14 a fortnight, and yes, you were bonded.
Yes,
you were bonded for 3 years.
Three.
Yeah, but that was different from country service. The country service was, I think there were 10 steps on the basic salary scale, and you couldn't pass the fifth one until you had done country service. But country service included intermediate schools. They were classed as country service too.
Oh, even in a town?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I did my country service, because I was an intermediate.
Yes, okay.
But that whole country service thing, I think, has dropped now.
Probably.
I think it's been dropped.
Well, of course, for our PA here, we just got told...
Yes,
where
that's
to
right.
Go.
Yes.
You could say, I'd like to
your
go.
What year?
Probationary assistant.
Probationary assistant. So you did your teacher's college training, then you were bonded for 3 years. Your first year teaching was you could say where you would like to go, but that didn't mean you got it, and you basically went where you were sent.
Yes,
and
that's right.
That that was that.
Hmm. And I can tell you a funny story about that. In that, when I was at Teachers College, there was one of the students was sent to Owakuni,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't regarded as the ideal place. And he put this great story forth that he couldn't possibly go to. He was engaged to a girl, and he was engaged. He was engaged to somebody who had been sent to Wanganui. So what did the education board do? They said, oh, she can go to Owakuni, which wasn't quite in the pen.
But actually, the funny thing was that often the people who got sent to schools that they thought, oh, no, this is not for me, perhaps like Owakuni, would go and have the most wonderful time.
Absolutely, and that did happen.
Yes.
Because those little town schools or rural schools... Yes.
They'd be so grateful to have someone.
Yes, yes. But you... Yeah. There was someone a teacher who I knew in adulthood, who said that when he went to some school out from Tamarunui, that on this first day, a local farmer bought him a side of sheep. That's, you know, that was his food, you know. Huh. Wouldn't have happened in a town school. I'd forgotten about that bonding business, yes. And if you did break your bond, you had to pay.
You had to pay back.
Did you find then, because obviously through your years in teaching, you'd see new people come straight from teachers' college. Was the training different? Did they come better prepared, differently prepared?
When I was at teachers' college, it was like a school.
Yeah.
You had periods.
Yeah.
Lecturers.
Yes, lecturers. But all the lecturers had been teachers. Actual teachers, real life teachers. But it was treated, I think I did my training here in Palmerston at Princess Street Place, and I think we started at 9 and finished at 4 with an hour off for lunch. There was a morning interval and an afternoon interval.
Oh, playtime.
Yes, we didn't call it playtime though, did we? Yes, because that's the standing joke, because teachers have a big play in the morning and a little play in the afternoon. but it was basically a school day.
Yes, because the slight difference perhaps was you had your core subjects that everybody did, then you had your credit.
That's right.
And you took 2 credits, and then in your next year you carried one of those credits into a second year.
Step. Yes.
And that of course is when there was not the B.Ed, so people were not teacher training at university, they were at college, but we were getting release for credit subjects to go to university. So I did geography, but could go to Massey to do Stage 1 geography.
That had changed, because when I was there, if you wanted to do work at Massey, it was after college finished.
After you finish college or in the evening after?
Oh no, just straight after. It was 4 o'clock lectures. Down to Massey by 4 o'clock sort of thing. Yes.
Because a lot of the distance teaching at Massey early on was teachers, because if they did extra papers it affected their position on the pay scale, and they were probably paid and allowed time off to go to the on-campus courses and so on, but then that changed.
Yes, now, when I was in my second year at Massey,
You were teaching when the Teachers College merged into Massey, wasn't it?
Yes, I was teaching there. But there were a bunch of principals who had been given a year to finish their degrees.
Oh, okay.
And they got a year off their school.
So when you said when you were at Massey, is this when you were teaching at Massey?
No, this was when I was studying. This was
so when I was straight after Teachers College, you went to Massey to do some extra courses?
No. I did Massey Studies after Teachers College work.
The same time then?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
It was after that I took the year off to complete degrees. I never really thought about it at the time, but all our lecturers had been teachers. And this didn't actually happen when I started at Massey as a lecturer myself.
Yeah.
There were people in the various departments who had never done a day's teaching in their life, yet here they were lecturing.
Yeah, because they merged the Teachers College with the education...
Yes.
Was it the education faculty or education department?
Yeah, I don't know what it was called, but I know that...
But their job in education, some of it was assessment of, you know, how, doing research into the nature of schooling and how things work.
Yeah, you see... Yeah. An example associated with this, when I was at Teachers College, and probably the same when you were, there was a three-term year.
Mm-hmm.
We had six periods, three a year, out in the schools as practice mm-hmm. associated. The first term, the first year, it was 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and from then on it was a month mm-hmm. each term in a school.
Mm.
Now, when I ended up at Massey as a lecturer, there was a 3-year course, and there was no increase in the amount of time they spent in schools. Mm. So their practical in schools was reduced.
So you mean it was the same amount of practical as you would have done in 2 years, but spread over three?
Yeah, in fact, I have a suspicion it wasn't even as much as in the three.
Okay.
Because we did a lot of it. Did you? You would have.
Yep. Going out on section.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was one of the changes when Polytech started giving degrees. It meant a lot of the sort of hands-on lab type work and things like that disappeared and became more lecture style study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the practical lessons were that. Yeah, that was a fun time. That was good. You
dealt
with real people.
School. And depending on the class and the teacher.
This is part 2 of 3. Listen next week for part 3. Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.